So as Peter said, in some ways we are going to be considering things that are really familiar to us. So I thought I would start with a bit of a curveball. So can I have the first screen, please? Anyone remember that advertising campaign? Put your hands up if you remember it. Yeah, I think that ages most of us because Alex didn't put his hand up. Okay, so I think that was probably about the 80s or the 90s. And the source of that is, obviously it's the Rolo advert, and the question is quite pertinent, isn't it? That sense of, do you love anyone enough to give them your last Rolo? So I would like you, in your mind, to think you've got your last Rolo in your hand, okay? Have a look round this building. Is there anyone here you would give that last Rolo to? Have a look round. Stop not looking, because I know you're thinking, no, I'm keeping that, I'm not giving it away, okay? Now, actually, I have to say, I was never that keen on Rolos, so it wasn't a big thing for me. Anyone could have my last Rolo. But that actually doesn't negate the question, because the question is, who do you love enough to give them something that you really care about? Who do you love so much that you're going to give away something? Something that is special to you. So love is important to us all. That sense of finding someone to love and to be loved by. So much so that actually it's become quite a thing on the TV. I don't know if you have noticed how many television programs there are about people seeking love. There's things like dinner dates. You don't have to say if you've watched any of these. I accept that probably you've all not watched any of them. Dinner dates, first dates, Love Island, Married at First Sight, and so the list goes on. And there are even advertisements for online dating agencies because people search for love. And it's actually become quite a big business, and quite a lot of the entertainment is kind of devolved upon it. But this morning, we're thinking about love in a different way. I was out in Horsham yesterday. Has anyone been to Horsham recently? It is getting busier. It's getting busier and busier. I was out in Horsham and just watching the people who were scurrying around doing their Christmas shopping. And it just occurred to me, I wonder what you're buying for the people you love. How much are you actually willing to sacrifice for them? So I went home and I looked up, and it won't surprise you that if you do a search online, you can put in the world's most expensive Christmas presents. You might want to look at some of those sometimes. They're a bit odd. But for instance, did you know that back in 1968, so that's a while ago, Richard Burton gave Elizabeth Taylor a ruby ring worth £4.2 million? Wow, that's some kind of Christmas present, isn't it? Don't hold your breath, any of you. But that might be a little bit outside of your budget. So I did a little bit more looking around for you. I've been working hard for you. I've got some suggestions of things you might want to put in a Christmas stocking for your loved ones, okay? I went on the Harrods site because I thought we'd aim high. Okay, so you might want to buy that special person in your life a lovely Christmas candle, and it only costs £550. Lovely. Or what about for that one in your life who has trouble sleeping, a nice sleep mask by someone called Olivia von Halle. You might know of that person, never heard of them, but that sleep mask is £195. Okay. But one of the things that really, Richard, really attracted my sight for that gift, he's over there, Pete. That gift that you might just want to push into the very toe of your Christmas stocking for the one you love. It's a white and gold, my first De Beers stud earrings. Sounds good, doesn't it? Stocking filler. Oh, it's only £1,000, okay? But actually, in all seriousness, in a year where we have had to endure painful physical separation from the people we love, what is it that we want from each other? Is it a gift, or is it just the opportunity to physically be in the presence of the people you love. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the subject of love, in particular, God's love. So what do we know about love? As I was reading and preparing for this morning, my attention was caught by an article that raised the question, what is opposite to love? Now, I don't know about you, but my first response would probably have been hatred. But this article went on to say that actually when love is removed, what is left is apathy and indifference. So the absence of love is apathy and indifference. So of course, what we're looking at today is completely opposite to that. It is love in the most extreme, because it's about the incarnation of God. And the incarnation shouts God's love, because he came here to tell you how much he loves you. That Jesus is not indifferent to you in any way. He doesn't reject you, because he's steadfast in his love. Steadfast in his love so much that he would come and be incarnated. So this morning our focus is love incarnate. So the man Jesus who comes above amongst us, that God who becomes a human being, becomes flesh. Our reading was from John, and unlike the other three Gospels, as we know, John doesn't start his story of Jesus' life and ministry at the birth of Christ. He starts way back at the birth of the universe. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So we have to go back further. We have to go deeper in history to capture the love that came down at Christmas. From the very earliest times, before the physical world existed, back to the very beginning. And John tells us that the Word was there. He was there. So Jesus didn't come into existence when he was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He had always existed. Verse 14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us." He takes on human form and humbles himself to be born as a baby, to live with his people, to become one of us. The Word, the maker of all things, comes here to live among us. I've got another advert now. Does anyone know what that is an advert for? Dior, Miss Dior in particular. Well done, Catherine. You've been taking note. Miss Dior, I hope you get some for Christmas, honey. Okay, so once again, there is a really good question that goes along with it. And you, what would you do for love? To be quite honest, I never quite understood what jumping off a pier in a floaty dress had to do with love. But there you go. Maybe that's me. But when we talk about love, when we talk about Jesus's love, we think about a sacrificial love. And we tend to turn our minds to the crucifixion and to his death. But what about incarnation? Was there a cost for him to pay? Just what was he willing to do for love? When I was younger, I took my youth group to an event run by Counties Evangelists. And there a man was talking about his childhood and his experiences as a child. And he lived at that point in quite a rural setting. Nowadays, we would probably call it off-grid. Because at the bottom of their garden, there was a hedge. And behind the hedge was a cesspit. Lovely. So there was a rule. And the rule was that he was never to go through the hedge on his own. Seems quite a sensible rule to me. One day, he was out in the garden playing football, and as he kicked the ball, it flew, and you know where it's going, don't you? It went straight over the hedge, and he thought, I'm going to go and get my football back. So he ran. He ran across the lawn. He ran through the hedge, and before he knew it, he had slipped, he had slided, and he was bump in the bottom of the cesspit. Up to his knees in all the mess and the filth that you would expect to find in a cesspit. And as he looked up the walls of the cesspit above him, he knew he was in trouble. He was stuck in the mess that he had landed in because of his own decision. And he could not get out on his own, and he needed help. So he called, he shouted, and his father heard him. His father came running. His father saw his son stuck in the mess of his own making. And his father got a ladder. And he climbed down the ladder. He walked through the mess in the bottom of that cesspit. He picked up his son, who by now was covered in all of that mess. And he climbed back out of the cesspit, carrying his son to safety. What a story. And Jesus came to show us the depth of God's love. He came to our messy world. He stepped down into the darkness and filth of our lives. Verse 3 says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. So the eternal Son of God, the creator of everything that had been made, the one with power and authority, who created the stars and the planets, the mountains and the seas and all life, the creator of the universe, the creator of each person, he took on human likeness and came to the earth in human form. Philippians 2:7 says, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Took on, not changing who or what he was, but by assuming what he was not. So, In lockdown, our experiences of life had to change, didn't they? Some freedoms that we might have expected were removed. Things that we previously might have legitimately expected to do, we could no longer do. And we missed it, didn't we? There were so many things that we missed. The things that we had to give up. But if that was difficult for us, if we had to give up a lot, how much more did Christ have to give up in order to come? For Christ, the infinite became finite. The immaterial became physical. The all-powerful became weak and vulnerable, subject to everything we experience. He came in flesh to a tiny speck in the universe called planet Earth. The mighty creator became a part of creation, limited by time and space, and susceptible to aging, sickness, and death. He gave up all of that to come back into our cesspit. But love propelled him. So he came. Do you know, sometimes a shepherd will cover themselves in a sheepskin so that they can come close to a sheep. And as that sheep sense another sheep, they're drawn to it. And so the shepherd can come close to help, to tend, to care, to love, to nurture, to lead it to safety. And so Jesus, just like that shepherd, puts on flesh to come near to us so that we can be drawn to him, so he can help and tend and care and nurture and love and lead us to safety. But who is that for? Well, we know, don't we, that it's for all. It's not just for the religious, not just for the rich, not just for the powerful. He sees and loves us in our messy lives. And this morning, as Peter was talking about the mess and the chaos before it started, the service started, I thought that just is the point, that God sees our messy lives. He sees where we are. He sees our need to be loved and to be known. And a world filled with apathy and indifference, well, God does the opposite. He comes to us. John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Laura Buchanan said, "In a year when so much distance has had to be created, I have felt again how relational intimacy is at the heart of life. If the God of the universe is a God who would incarnate, then that makes sense. The very reason for our existence is deep relationship with a God who has expressed his desire for intimacy with us in the ultimate way. He is Emmanuel, God with us." And she goes on to say, "This year, surely the idea of someone coming to visit me in the flesh has a new poignancy. Incarnation expresses the type of love that God has for every one of us. Intimate, consistent, and infinite." So this morning, if you feel at a distance from God, if you doubt that he loves you, maybe it's time for us to think again of the cost of his incarnation, or to show you today just how much you are loved. R.M. McShane said, "The infinite love of God now beat in a human heart. The unbounded compassion of God to sinners now glistened in a human eye. God was love before, but Christ was now love covered over with flesh." So God's love and grace are available to you through Jesus today. So let's reclaim the truth of Christmas. But those two questions remain. So who do you love enough to give your last Rolo to? Who are we commanded to love? John 15:12 says, "My command is this, love each other in the same way I have loved you." So incarnational love carries on today through us. And that last question, and you, what would you do for love? How will you show your love for others this Christmas? How will our church show God's love through our incarnational living over the coming year? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for that picture of how you come down into our messy world. How you come incarnate to show us just how much we are known and loved by you. Father, as we sit here this morning, help us to just understand that reality again. Help us to know your love, to feel you whispering in our ear, "I know you and I love you." Amen. So we're just going to listen to a video. Just think about the words and think again as you're listening what God gave up in order to come to us.